Welcome to the It Is Well broadcast, where we help all people live well through faith. For service times and location, visit our website at www.itiswellchurch.com. Now, join Pastor Khalil Carmichael for a service already in progress.
Thanks be to God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Father, we thank you right now for your word. Your word is truth and light. Lord, now decrease me and increase your spirit. Give your people eyes to see and ears to hear what thus says the Lord in this moment. We thank you, God, for divine revelation and understanding. Have your way and be glorified in everything that we do and say. And let the church say amen.
Amen.
Amen. And amen. Please be seated in his presence. I'll be speaking to you today from the subject, look at us. Look at us. Look at us. We're continuing in our series of divine movement. Look at us. You know, being part of a relevant living church, Paul is, can change your life. Being a part of a relevant living church, alive in God, can change your life for the better. Amen. The church has the ability, the church has been given the power and has the ability to lift people up beyond their circumstances, to lift people higher and to cause them to think more of themselves and to give them a different perspective on life. The church has the ability to lift people up beyond their circumstances and bring healing to brokenness. We just remember we can't just come to church and lift our hands and say amen and praise the Lord and the person on the seat next to us is broken. And the person next to us is in despair and the person in the back is experiencing brokenness. When you come to church, you can experience wholeness, deliverance from your brokenness. Psalm 122 says, I rejoice with those who said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. I was so happy, the psalm says, when they said to me, let us go to God's house. Psalm 100 says, enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. It's a good thing to come to the house of the Lord. It's an awesome thing. My children always say, it's awesome. It's really awesome to come to the house of God and to allow the saints of God to commune and fellowship. That's awesome. I was glad. Mm-hmm. We ought to be glad. Amen. Rejoice when we come into the church. I know we have some issues, but we still can rejoice. I know that it's a drive, but we can rejoice. I know it's early, but we should come here rejoicing. We shouldn't come here looking to be pumped up and to have our heads rubbed. We should come here rejoicing already because we're saved, because we have been called, because God has set us apart. He's done a divine thing within our life. He's delivered us from our earth. We should come here rejoicing in God. When I think about the goodness of the Lord and all that he's done for me, Lord have mercy, I have to come in here rejoicing. Locked out but rejoicing. People pushing the little carts with the towels in them, but rejoicing. Amen. Missing some people that I wish were here, but rejoicing. Rejoicing. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. We ought to be glad and rejoice when we come into church because it is the house of God. We ought to be filled with joy when we enter into the church because we have an opportunity to leave. Each time we come to the house of God, that's why we have it the first day, the Sunday. We come here to leave better. Different perspective. Different way of thinking. There should be a shift in our thinking when we come to the house. We shouldn't leave our brains outside the house of God. We should bring our brains into the house. So when the person says, turn to your neighbor. Turn to your neighbor. You don't do that. So when the person says, turn to your neighbor, Now tell your neighbor to give you $5. And then bring the $5 up here. We should bring our brain and our minds into the house of God so we're not deceived and falling into deception and nonsense and mess and doing things that has nothing to do with God. We should be thinking better. There should be a resolve in the church to love better. Lord, nothing worse than a mean church. Lord, have mercy. Ushers mean. Choir members mean. Pastors mean. Musician mean. Why come? Come to the house of the Lord. We should love better. We should have resolved to live better. Amen. Come to the house of the Lord. You should say that. I'm going to live better. You know, that's why many people won't come here as often as they need to, because they're being forced to live better. To see things differently. To get out of their mess. So they're like, you know what? I forget him. I'm just not coming. Amen. But the church causes us to go higher, to live better, to live in peace, to serve the Lord, to know that it is well. You know, the church calls should allow us to live in peace, prompt us to serve the Lord, and to live well, and to know that it is well. When you leave the church, you should know that it is well, that something good is going to happen, that you've been redeemed for a purpose, and that you're going higher in the Lord. You should know that it is well with my soul when you leave the house of God. And this knowing is caused by believing. And this believing is by faith. And faith is contagious. It's not about feelings. It's not about feelings. It's not about how you feel. It's about faith. It's about faith. You might feel a certain way, but by faith, you know things are going to get better. You may be tired. You may feel tired. You may not feel like not coming, but by faith, you come. We come by faith, not by our feelings. I don't feel like waking up, but you don't stay there. You can acknowledge your feelings. You should trust and honor your feelings. That's my little clinical training class. honor your feelings, but don't stay there. Come by faith. Come to the church, because you're going to be around people of faith who believe the impossible. Come because you're going to be around the saints. Come because you're going to be around people who are not trying to kill you, but trying to lift you up. Come because you're going to be around people who are going to speak life to you and not death. They're not going to tell you what you can't do, but they're going to tell you what you can do. And they're going to say it under the power and the anointing. Come to the house of God, because things will get better. You're around your brothers and your sister, your family. Tell you, you can do all things through Christ. You can do the impossible. I know it's hard. I know it's rough. I know you feel, but you're going to make it somehow by the power of God. Come. This is the place to be. Amen. You know, when I come around the people of God, I believe by faith that something good is about to happen. That's why we're glad. That's why we come in here praising him and honoring him. And clapping our hands and lifting our hands. And even if we want to sit quietly, we don't sit there with a sad face. We sit there with joy. We're smiling. It's not something that you can just contrive or make up. It has to be from within. It has to be a knowing that comes from believing by faith. It's by faith. You ought to come. Apostle John and Peter, they were on their way to the house of God for prayer. And they were about to spread this contagious faith. It's contagious. Lord have mercy. Contagious. They were about to spread this contagious faith to a man who was lame from birth, that had been laying at the gate of the temple begging for alms. He was annoying. Lord have mercy. He was annoying. They started their dialogue with the man by simply telling him to look at us. This was the apostles' response to this lame beggar who had been carried to the entrance of the temple and sat on the ground begging for money from those who were entering. I want you to hear this story. This is John and Peter. They were commissioned by God, empowered by God, Reverend. empowered by God and commissioned by God, empowered by the Holy Spirit, and they were fully engaged in the work of the Lord to make disciples. That's the divine movement. That's what we're called to do. We're not called to have a choir. Choir is nice. Not called to have praise dances are nice. Not called to have the big flat screen. I love a big flat screen. We're not called to that. We're called to make disciples, to show people how to live better, to live well through faith in Christ and His Word, and to baptize people in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teach all the people the commandments of God. Let me go over that again. We're supposed to make disciples. Amen. Show people how to live a disciplined life through Christ. Mm-hmm. Then we're supposed to baptize those in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. People ought to be getting baptized. And then we're to teach the commandments of Christ. Not the Ten Commandments. It's okay. You can look at the Ten Commandments. You try to memorize them if you want to. But the commandment of Christ. The commandment of Christ. To love one another, your neighbor, and to love God with your mind, your heart, and your soul, your entire being. That's the commandment of Christ. And we're to teach that to people when they come. And this is what John and Peter had been doing. This wonderful church movement called Christianity was occurring, and lives were changing. The first church, oh my God, it was contagious. Faith was spreading. People were coming to God. They were looking to do things differently. They had been involved in a religious organization called the synagogue, and it was an oppressive place. The Jews, they were oppressing people within this region. Nothing against our Jewish brothers and sisters, but at that time, they were oppressing people, and Christ came to break up that oppression and to set the captives free. And He gave this knowledge and this information to His disciples, the apostles, and then they went out spreading this contagious faith. And people started to say, oh my God, I don't have to remember 600 laws. Oh my God, I don't have to stand and do that. Oh, I don't have to do all this religious ceremonies and these traditions. I don't have to do this. Oh my God, I can just be free in Christ. You mean to tell me I could go to Virginia Beach and be in my little boxing swimming trunks? I could do that. You mean to tell me I can go to Las Vegas? Now, you mean to tell me I'm free? Free in Christ. It's not about religion, is about relationship. You mean to tell me I can live holy? I can truly live holy. Contagious. You know, people want to live holy. People want to live well. People want to go higher. They want to be delivered from mess. They want to live in a way that is pleasing to God. It's just difficult. But through this teaching and these commandments of Christ, people were learning that I can Acts 2, 43 and 47, all came upon everyone, because many wonders and signs were being done by the apostles. All who believed were together and had all things in common. They would sell their possessions and goods and distribute the proceeds to all as any had need. Day by day, as they spent much time together in the temple, they broke bread at home and ate their food with glad and generous hearts. Praising God. They were praising God. They were calling on His name. They were living together. They were in community. They were serving God. They were loving one another. They were providing for one another. They was there for one another. They were texting and calling and Facebooking. And they were just in connection. If they didn't see somebody in church, they would call them and pick up the phone. Oh my God. It was a community of believers. And it was about love. Day by day, as they spent much time together in the temple, they broke bread at home and ate their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God. They were praising God and having the goodwill of all people. And day by day, the Lord added to the number. People were coming. It was contagious. These things were going on well within this. Things were going well within this divine movement called Christianity. People were being saved, and the message of Christ was spreading. It was contagious. And on this day, as they were going up to the house of prayer, Peter and John, at 3:00 in the afternoon, they saw this lame man who had been put there at the door by some friends to beg for money. He was so annoying, Lord have mercy. He was just sitting there. If you can imagine Jerusalem in those days, and the people were going up to the temple, the synagogue, and Peter and John were going up there, not just to worship, but they were going there to spread some contagious faith. Mm-hmm. They were going right up in the temple. They were going right up into the church, and they were going to spread, in this religious organization, they were going to spread some contagious faith. And this poor man was out there, laying on the ground, brought there by his friends. He was lame. He was been lame since birth, the Bible said. That means that he never walked. And they put him there against the gate. They put him down. You know, our friends have a way of being there for us. Being there for us. Let me see what I wrote here. Being there for us when they have a way of participating in our mess. Let me say that. Our friends love to participate in our mess. But they very seldom like participating in our deliverance. So his friends would bring him there to beg. They would bring him there every day. Come on now, I'm going to pick you up and take you so you can go beg. It's kind of like you ask somebody, can I borrow $1,000? Right, can I borrow $1,000? And they say, for what? And you say, I got a new book coming out and I need to get it published. And they say, no, Doc, mm-mm. Or you say, can I borrow $1,000? You know, I my lights were turned off. This is all, I need $1,000. They give you for that. They participate in everything but your deliverance. The thing that's going to bring you wealth and set you free and take you higher. They participate in your mess. And this is what his friends was doing, Courtney. They kept bringing him this so he could beg. And he would lie on the floor and he would just look. He would say, alms for the poor. That was his cry. Knowing. So when everybody came into worship, that's all they heard. And so the people were so annoyed, they began to just throw and flip coins to him. They didn't do it out of love or generosity. They just wanted to just say, one, they wanted to show that they were pious and religious. And then secondly, they just did it to shut him up. Here. We all have a tendency of doing it. Well, I go to New York every 4 days a week. I stop catching the train. I'll sit in traffic. Because every time I'm on the train, I don't know if I have a sign on my back that says pastor, but somebody always finds it. They ask for big money. Sir, do you have $25? $25, sir. Do you have $50? Sir, do you have $50? And if I have it, I give it. And sometimes I give it because I feel guilty. And then other times I give it because God is making me give it. And this is what these religious people were doing to this lame beggar, just flipping and throwing coins at him. As he would cry out, alms for the poor! They are surely going to ask me to leave this place if I was to stop that. And the people, as they entered the temple, they would just throw him the coin and make him feel good. And this went on for days. And when Peter and John saw him going into the temple, he asked them for alms. He asked them for alms. And I can see him really pouring it on now. I'm not going to do it again. Verse 4 says that Peter looked at him intently, as did John. And they said, look at us. There's a lot in that. Everybody was throwing coins at him. And Peter and John, these apostles with this contagious faith, they said, look at us. I want you to really, you know, every now and then you have to tell people to really look at you. You have to tell them, really, like, to really look. There's something different about me. Look, I want you to look at me. I want you to look. This is what they said. They said, look at us. What a powerful statement. Look at us. I can imagine Peter saying, your friends, they bring you here every day to beg, but look at us. Everyone else has just walked by you and tossed you a coin without looking in your eyes, but look at us. Nobody has even stopped to say anything to you, but look at us. Look at me and my man John here. Just look at us. And then he said this. As he told him to take a closer look, he said this. He says, silver and gold I do not have, but what I give you, I give you in the name of Jesus Christ. You know, I heard this preacher the other night in revival. He said the man, he wanted arms and he ended up getting legs. Amen. And he also talked a little bit about how people in the church who are stingy, they quote this scripture. You ever had, you give the offering, put the offering plate out, and it goes around, and you see somebody say, silver and gold I don't have, but I give you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Y'all don't like that, but I have to say these things. I have to say these things. He said, silver and gold I do not have, but what I give you in the name of Jesus Christ. But I would like to add, perhaps these apostles were a part of a divine move, who were a part of this divine move. They knew that in this particular circumstance, that the money was a temporary fix, and what they had to offer was permanent. In other words, you can't just give and fix temporarily. When people look at you, they should see transformation. When people look at you, they should see something different, something new, something divine. When people look your way, they should see Christ. When people look at you, they should see an opportunity to go higher and to get better. When people see you, when people see you serving and see you doing the things that God has called you to do, working on your job and opening your businesses and doing things in everyday life, they should look at you and see differently. Are you able to say to people, look at us? Silver and gold I do not have, Peter said, but what I have I give you in the name of Jesus Christ. Stand up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and raised him up, and immediately his feet and ankles were made strong. That's the church, right? That's representative of the church. That's the church. That is a divine movement. Raising people up. That's what we do with the church. We raise people up to a higher standard. We raise people up to a different way of thinking. We raise people up. We help people move beyond their circumstances. We help people get out of their mess, changing and renewing people's minds. That's the church. Yes. We elevate people's thinking. We help them to have hope and encouragement. That's the church. We don't just serve just for the sake of serving, or we don't just grow churches just to say we have big churches. We don't just preach the word because we want to hear ourselves on television. We raise people up. That's why we give our offerings, so we can raise people up. That's why we buy vans, so we can get people who are asleep while the children are running around playing downstairs. We get them here to church. We raise them up. It's a divine movement. Raise them up. We say, look at us. There's something different about us. We want you to come because we want to love you. We want you to come because we want to commune with you. We want to be in fellowship with you. We don't just come here to gather so we can talk about our stocks and talk about our home and put on this fake religious pot. We come here to raise people up to Christ. You know, we have a young lady in our church. She's been talking to me about going to nursing school, two young ladies. And I've been trying to direct them to Beverly, and we just get so busy. There's so much going on. If that young woman does not even get the chance to fill out an application or apply for financial aid, shame on us. If those children are still running around on Sunday morning throwing cereal at each other when they could be coming here learning the word, shame on us. Shame on us. If we just come here and worship, and we should, and then not care about others, not pray for others, not call on God on behalf of others, shame on us. When people come in contact with you, the church, and me, the church, the ecclesia, the called out ones, we're called out. That's what church, that's what ecclesia, we're called out. Called out, called out. That's the divine moment. The Jews, some of the Jews were being called out of a religious system. Some of you have been in religious systems. And God has called you. Why am I in this church? Called out. Called out. Please stand with me. Transformation has to happen. Transformation has to happen. We cannot just say, look at us without giving people a hand. You know, many churches are saying, just look at us. Look at us. Look at our logo. Look at our website. Look at our building. Oh, look at my pastor. Look. But not offering a hand. I'm tired of telling people to look at me. I'm talking to some young lady that's asking me to get in college, and all I can say is, or some husband that's on drugs and he doesn't know what to do, and somebody telling me that their children are asking about me and we can't get them to church. Once we say, look at us, look at our education and all the things that we're doing, amen, do it to the glory and honor of God, we have to be able to put our hands out and say, stand up and walk. Stand up and walk. You've been sitting around here begging, asking for people to help you, not helping yourself. Matter of fact, I'm going to call that young lady today, and I'm going to offer her a hand now. I'm going to print out the application, get it to her myself. And I'm going to do my part, and then she has to do her part. Now, all we can do is our part as the church. But we at least have to do that. Amen?
Amen.
Stand up and walk. But let me tell you what happens when people come. Stay there. When people come into the church and they get that hand up and not a hand out. And he took him by the right hand and raised him up. And immediately his feet and ankles were made strong. And jumping up, he stood and began to walk. And he entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. They saw him and they recognized him as the one who used to beg. Transformation. Transformation. Beautiful gate of the temple, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened. Okay, I just want to make sure the Bible said what had happened. It did say that. Amen. They were amazed at what had happened. Isn't that something? When people see your life, when they see your life, they'll give God the glory. Matthew 5:14-16, you are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hid. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under a lampstand or a bushel, but it is exposed so all the world can see. Look at us. In our life, he's doing something unique, and it's a divine movement. I know you may feel tired, you may feel like I'm too old for this. No. The Lord has need for you. I know you may feel like I'm too young, I have things to do. No. The Lord has need of you. Father, we thank you right now. We give you praise, Lord. Father God, that we are the church. We are the church. Your church. God, we ask in the name of Jesus Christ that you would meet every need and make a way out of no way for us, God. Give us supernatural energy and enthusiasm and joy. Provision. To give this dying world a right hand up. To help them stand and walk in the holiness of the Lord and stand strong in the power of your might. Lord, shine your light upon us that when others look at us, they see you.
Yes.
When they look at us, they are forced to change the way they're living. When they look at us, they'll see redemption, renewal, restoration, and forgiveness. When they look at us, they'll see us loving one another and loving our neighbors and loving you with all our heart, mind, and soul. Help us, God.
Yes.
Help us, God. Thank you for your Holy Spirit. We give you praise and honor and glory. Now, Lord, have your way in this place. Touch every heart. Heal every mind. Thank you, Lord, for helping us in our brokenness. Deliverance. Thank you, God, that we can declare, look at us. We've been transformed. We've been renewed. We've been changed. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Put your hands together. Give God a hand clap.
Thank you for listening to the It Is Well broadcast with Pastor Khalil of It Is Well Living Church in Monroe Township, New Jersey. Join us every Sunday for our worship service from 9 to 10:15 a.m. Our Word and Workout Bible Study meets every Wednesday from 6:30 to 8 p.m. Workout from 6:30 to 7, Bible Study 7:05. We also meet for our Thursday Hour of Power Worship and Workout from 1 to 2 p.m. That's every Thursday. Visit our website at www.itiswellchurch.com for location and times. It Is Well Living Church, helping all people live well through faith. Go in peace, serve the Lord, and know that it is well.